This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Flunkies and Junkies, welcome to this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. I am your co-host, Scott Criscolo. This is the NWA Super Saturday Special, because this week's recap show was a super power. Super! Let me bring in the doctor. Super Dr. G.
Yo. George, what up?
You're not like that beady-eyed mushmouth doctor on that other fucking podcast. Those other jamokes.
Yeah. First,
do you want to talk to Tim Storm? Oh God, I think I'm gonna gag. Anyway,
you know what? I want to say this. There's only one doctor, and as our friends say, that's the great value doctor. Over.
That's right.
On that NWA wrap-up, whatever the hell they call it.
Well, the podcast, they do a podcast called This is the NWA. And it's Gary Horn, who I thought was a morning guy in Hartford for many years. I don't remember the other guy's name. Gil Martin? Oh, no, he's a former DD. Tim Martin? I don't know. And then Dr. Stinker? I don't know what the fuck.
Dr. Doolittle, whatever his name is over there.
Dr. Heine, whatever. Remember Dr. Heine? He pulled the fucking boot out of Jim Ross's ass, whatever. Anyway, who gives a shit? This is the real podcast for everything NWA. Not the NWA Crock and Roll. That's different. That's a little vintage action. By the way, great episode you guys did last week. I was very happy. It was a good episode. You guys doing a little before
all yours.
I know it is. We are here this week, of course, to go over this week's episode of Power, which is actually Superpower. From what I noticed, Doctor
Superpower,
the scuttlebutt, as the National Treasure Nick Aldis would say, people were not like really happy with this week's episode. Not often that an episode of Power gets a little stink eye, but we heard about it earlier in the week, and I said to you, I'm like, I feel like this is something we have to watch. Well, we're going to watch it anyway, obviously. But I've come to the realization I don't trust anybody's judgment on anything. I have to look at it for myself before I just assume. And after watching it this week, we watched it together. Not often you and I get a chance to, but we actually watched it together this week. I could see people's frustrations, but at the same time,
again, like we said,
I get it.
We, for the most part, we're very complimentary. But, you know, this is part of the show. We're going to say what we think maybe could be done better. And we'll get into some of that as we review the show.
Right.
But, I definitely could see where people got upset. And I do see some – again, if you got – I think the people who are watching these shows have that old school mentality – but with a new school twist to it. Mm-hmm. So I think some of it, you know, which we'll get into, you know, when it comes to announcing and all that, that we've been used to our whole lives, you know, you and I have been used to, and people our age or even mm-hmm. really even younger than us that are used to, we could probably see a little bit. We would like to see a little bit more of it on this show.
Correct. And it's still a great episode, I thought. You know, I thought it was still a great episode, but I could see people getting frustrated, and I have some reasons why, and we'll talk about when we wrap the show up. But when we get
well, I definitely think if you want to start there, I definitely think the announcing needs some upgrade.
Yes, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Yeah, definitely. That's definitely to start the thing. Why don't we get the plugs out of the way quick? You can follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. You can follow him on Twitter at Dr. G PTB. We had a good week on the PTB Wrestling Network. We had a new episode of Extreme Resurrection. We had a new episode, a next installment of Jacob and Tyler's GWCW Countdown. New episode of PTB NXT. Oh, no, wait. Jacob and Tyler was last week. These shows are all so great. We had a new episode of PTB NXT this week. Jake, Jenny, and Tim did take over Fatal 4-Way. And then, of course, dropping today, if you're listening to this on Saturday, yesterday, a new episode of Place B Nation's main event. Steve and I, Nate was recovering from shot number two. Steve and I did some news and notes from around wrestling, and then we previewed this Sunday's WrestleMania Backlash pay-per-view. So check that out. PTB Wrestling Network, it's the fans' feed. And, of course, the other feeds in the quad of pods, the PTB Pop Experience, the Jenny Position, and, of course, the No-So. All right. We begin this week's episode of Superpower. We open with the end of last week's Power Surge when Joe Galli and Mae Valentine announced, and to the surprise and annoyance of our world's heavyweight champion, Nick Aldis, that there will be in 3 weeks, so 2 weeks now, because this was last Tuesday, there will be a 14-man over-the-top rope battle royal to determine the next number one contender.
That's so old-school NWA Dusty right there.
Battle royal? Yeah. In fact, yeah. Even Nick Aldis made fun of it this week, so we'll get to that. Over-the-top rope battle royal to determine the next number one contender for the World's Heavyweight Championship. So we got a recap from last week when Aldis was pissed at the end of the show. So we open this week, and weirdly, Kyle Davis is sitting at the table with Tim Storm and Velvet Sky. Joe Galli is over at the interview desk.
Well, because there's always been something with Galli and Aldis. I think that's why they put him there. Because, as you noticed the rest of the show, then Galli went back to his normal spot. So.
Right. I think it was more to kind of stoke the fires of Galli and
of course. Yeah.
And Aldis. So all four of Strictly Business are there. Joe Galli, Tom Latimer, Camille, and our national heavyweight champion, Chris Adonis. And Aldis kind of gets all pissed off. You know, he gives a good line. He goes, Billy Corgan wants to go back to the Attitude Era because he sure as hell doesn't want to live in the Gratitude Era, which is pretty funny. And, of course, he pimps himself. He's pissed off at Joe Galli because mush mouth.
I'll tell you, his interviews every week are getting better and better.
They really are. Joe Galli at that desk with your mush mouth beady eye questions. That's what those guys on that podcast are. They're all mush mouth beady eyes. That's what they all are. Dr. Mush Mouth. That's what we're going to call him now. Dr. Mush Mouth.
And I like when he goes, and then Mae Valentine undresses me with her eyes.
With her eyes. It's very. I'm not a piece of meat. I'm the world heavyweight wrestling champion. Oh, it's so great. He was awesome. It was one promo that was good this week because there weren't a lot. There weren't many others. So they go with the whole thing. They talk about the battle royal, and they talk about the fact
it's
that
a
no
battle, a battle royal,
battle royal, and he's making fun of the fact that battle royals are old. I like how he goes. He tells Joe Galli, "If you don't adjust yourself real quick, I'll bounce you back to San Antonio, and you can deal with old folks' homes and hurricanes." That was great. So now the stipulation, Dr. G, just to let everyone know, this the one stipulation that has been predetermined in this battle royal, which will be on the May 25th episode of Power, is that no current champions can be in the Battle Royal, which means at the moment, no Chris Adonis, no Pope, and no Aaron Stevens and Kratos. They cannot be in the Battle Royal because they are currently champions. So, now, of course, tonight on Power, on this episode, the main event was supposed to be an NWA World's Tag Team title shot for Tom Latimer and Chris Adonis. They were supposed to take on Aaron Stevens and Kratos for the tag team titles, thinking that Billy Corgan's going to throw them a curveball, and with Adonis and Latimer being champions, they can't be in the Battle Royal to, kind of protect the slot. So Nick Aldis decides, well, for the betterment of Strictly Business, that tag match is canceled. So the main event, so Nick Aldis, the world's heavyweight champion, decides that the main event tonight is canceled. Now, of course, Chris Adonis and Tom Latimer look at him and go, what the fuck? And they just walked off. So, Dr. G, we're seeing Nick Aldis, the world's heavyweight champion, kind of instilling his will. So could we be seeing some internal strife beginning within Strictly Business? What do you think?
I don't know. Good stuff.
You know, obviously, you know, they're working for a common goal like the Four Horsemen used to. Protect Ric Flair, protect the world's heavyweight championship, protect the investment. But Tom Latimer and Chris Adonis are like, you know, we want to kind of, you know, get some lines on our resume. But Nick Aldis is no. The betterment, Strictly Business. So.
Well, you know, anytime you have a group like this, there's going to be some dissension every so often. That's just part of. But again, it's not going to happen. They're gonna let it fester and, you know, marinate, I guess. Mm-hmm. Whereas now with the bigger companies, it's like, all right, let's do this in 2 weeks and then we'll move on. You know, like this is going to happen over a period of time, just like they're doing with some of the other storylines, which may be getting frustrating to people. But I think that instead of having it be done one and done, they're making it. They're building it up like it used to be.
Right. No, I agree with you. And so Strictly Business could be, I don't know. Anyway.
Something tells me that Latimer and Camille are going to be the ones that separate from Strictly Business in the future. That's just my
Well, they're a real life couple, so that makes sense. Camille, by the way, makes some comments about her eventually beating Serena Deeb. We'll get more about Camille later. Because
I think that Camille, believe it or not, I think she'll have a good heel run here. But I think eventually she will be a face.
Well, I think so. But I think most of them will be down the line. That's going to be the thing for me about Nick Aldis. Because when Flair would turn face, he wasn't a bad face. I mean, Flair will always be one of the greatest heels of all time. But when he was a face, he was really good. So when Nick Aldis does turn face, and he will have a babyface turn at some point down the line, of course, that'll be the real telling point of how he has matured as a performer, if he could get over as a face, because right now he's a damn good heel. So
he is.
We get a commercial saying that Back for the Attack is on. Now, we're getting this every week now. You know, Back for the Attack, the replays on Fight TV. It was a great show, so please, you know, watch it if you bought it. And, of course, if you'd like, turn down the volume and rewatch the amazing Place to Be Nation Twitch feed live stream we did with you, me, the Kettleman, Callum McDougal, and Sean Kidd. We did Back for the Attack live. But, all right, we get it. Back for the Attack was
best commentary in town right there.
Well, it was better than the commentary that they
had. I mean, you want to talk about the Strictly Business of podcasting, it's right there.
Well, duh. I mean, where are our track jackets? I mean, fuck, man.
I don't know. Well, do I look like I'm the Podfather? So come on, Podfather. Let's get some track jackets going on over here.
What? What did you say to me? I don't know. TeePublic doesn't do track jackets. I wish they did. How cool would that be?
Well, then find someone that does.
Find some other fucking thing. Come on. NationalWrestlingAlliance.com. Where's
Maybe
the fucking
our
shop
national
for Christ's
treasure. Our national treasure, Sean. I guarantee you, if anybody's going to find track jackets,
it'll be Sean Kidd. Yeah, you're probably right.
It'll be
Sean.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
The ETB national treasure.
But my point is, we've seen every week, guess what? Back for the Attack replays. That's fine. We have a pay-per-view coming up on June 6th. Can we start pimping that? Enough with the Back for the Attack replay. We get it. It was a good show. The NWA was back in the fold. There was an amazing.
It's time to pimp out the next pay per view.
Yes. When Our Shadows Fall. All right. So we get a promo for that. And we get our first match of the night.
Balls fall. What the?
When our balls drop. when the sack sags.
70.
When the sack sags.
What the?
I don't know. I think that's a whole Billy Imperial. That's a Billy Imperial thing.
I do like the theme. You know, the thing is that they've got to do something with the GPB Studios, kind of like.
I think they will. I think that's kind of why it's got that kind of, for those that are horror fans, it kind of has that American Horror Story Freaks feel season.
Well, in one of the commercials you heard, you saw the music. It has that like circus music, but it's kind of like evil.
It's kind of like Doink's heel theme in '93.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of got something like that. Yeah. That part's awesome. But anyway, it's time to start pumping that up. We get it. Back for the attacks on Fight TV. You can watch a replay, yada, yada, yada. We got a new pay-per-view. We got a pimp. All right.
Exactly.
We got our first match of the night. A NWA Television Championship qualifying match. One of the old guard of the new NWA, Matt Cross, taking on your boy, Mims.
Mims.
You like your boy Mims with the hair. Joe Galli's back at the desk. And this match was, it was okay. I felt like some of the moves were like over scripted. There was one point.
It was.
Where Matt Cross was running to the corner, stopped, and then jumped into the turnbuckles after an Irish whip by Mims. He literally stopped and jumped into and I'm like, oh, that was bad. Oh, that was real bad. And I feel like they weren't really pushing themselves into the ropes when they were doing, Irish whips. And the match was a little clunky. Not going to lie, a little clunky. In the climax, Mims kicks Cross in the gut. Mims goes for the powerbomb, but Cross lands back on his feet. Mims hits the spinebuster for a two count. Mims whips Cross across the ring. Cross connects with the handspring cutter to pick up the victory. So Matt Cross gets a future NWA World's Television Championship match with somebody.
Yeah, I mean the end wasn't too bad, but it was a little bit of sloppy of a match from what we've been used to, especially with these two guys.
Yeah, I agree. Now, this is what I was saying. Well, we'll get to the announcers in a minute because there's a specific moment that makes me realize this. So we go back to the interview desk, and after the match, out comes Austin Idol, our boy, and his guy, Tyrus. Then right before they even start, out comes the television champion, the Pope. Pope doesn't shake Idol's hand. Idol's trying to congratulate him on being four victories away from getting a world title shot. Remember, they do that. If you successfully retain, you don't have to win the match, but if you can successfully retain the TV title seven straight times, you automatically get a title shot.
Do you like his shirt?
Which one? The Pope's? Yeah, the Pope had this crazy good-looking shirt tonight. It said Dream Match, and it said the Pope versus Nick Aldis. Now, I pay to see that match.
Yeah, I pay to see that. That'd be a great match.
Yeah, I pay to see
that. Would love to just see the promos leading up to that.
Yeah, these
two,
I would too.
Really, I mean, Nick Aldis is doing some of his best work on the stick, and then the Pope's the Pope. I mean,
yeah,
I think
agree.
Overall, I think the Pope is the best interview in the company.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
He's just flawless. I mean, Aldis is right up there with him, but Pope is pretty good.
Yeah, he is. He is. Tyrus's shirt, he still had the Great American Smash shirt, but tonight he had a black one on this week. Normally he wears a white shirt. Tonight he had a black. Idol's trying to blow smoke up Pope's ass about how good he is and everything, yada, yada, yada. And Pope kind of stares at him and walks off.
What's weird is that Idol is with Tyrus. I mean, Tyrus, being on Fox, and he's always, obviously doing like commentary is a lot different than doing a wrestling promo, but it's kind of weird that he actually has like a mouthpiece.
I agree, but that's okay. Gives Austin Idol's kind of putting over the fact it's his TV title. Yeah, he is, but I don't know where he's getting this from that it's his TV title. I don't know what the history is behind that, but anyway.
He was because the lineage of that title is the Georgia Television Championship. So that's what he must mean, because he was the Georgia Television Champion early 80s, late 70s. So
yeah,
I think that's the lineage of that belt.
That's true. So they do a little dance there. Nothing really earth shattering out of that promo, but it was just kind of advancing their storyline, because I'm sure Tyrus is going to try to get yet another TV title shot with Pope. So Mae Valentine does a backstage interview with Aaron Stevens, just him talking about Kratos, and he's enjoying his career with the NWA. You know, he likes Kratos because he's a mercenary, but he wants to. And they're having a good promo. And then all of a sudden, May goes, "But what are you really thinking?" And I'm thinking to myself, "What the fuck kind of question is that?" Like, she definitely knew jack about wrestling before she joined the NWA. Somebody's got to teach her how to do these stand-up interviews better, because she sounds so painfully scripted that it's brutal. And I like her. She's got a nice personality. She's very easy on the eyes. She's got a good baby face personality, but she really needs to beef up these interview skills, because they're not good at all.
No, and they're not.
And they gotta get work done. She's like, "But what are you really thinking? Like, what are you asking him? What are you, Dr. Phil? What is this, Ellen?"
I know.
It's ridiculous. But anyway, we have a vignette for Austin Idol's school. Then out comes Sal Rinaro, who talks to Kyle Davis about, you know, trying to get respect from Kratos and everything. So we're going to have a match now where no one's allowed at ringside. So the match is JR Kratos versus Sal Rinaro. Sal is from Hollywood, California, which is pretty funny. And his tights actually had the NWA logo, but instead of NWA, it said SAL. I think we should get those to the Legion, SAL. Actually, the American. Anyway,
you know,
that'd be funny.
So we're gonna call it Scott Etiquette now.
Scott Etiquette. Are we gonna call it George Lynn instead of Brooklyn? George Lynn. Is that like George Line? The Morning George, Dr. George. Every show that you're on at 24 straight hours of radio. Anyway, this is where the announcing thing bothers me. You need to have. I have no problem with Joe Galli. I have no problem with Tim Storm. And I actually, Velvet Sky is getting a little bit better as the week's gone on. I'll give her due. She's getting a little better. But we need
Why did you make her a heel?
Yeah, we need some heel commentary here. Because, like, a heel needs to go, Sal Rinaro is a fucking idiot.
We need some
Kratos is going
nasty
to...
fuck.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
just
what you need.
Like...
You need somebody who's going to get on the mic and say, Kratos is going to come in here and snap Sal Rinaro like a fucking Slim Jim. But instead we have, Sal Rinaro's got so much guts and fortitude. I get that. We need some baby, but three straight baby faces is not good for a wrestling show.
No.
It's back when like Mean
and
Gene
those are the little things that they need to work on. I agree with you. I mean, I know the NWA, they started getting a little bit more in the heel announcers more, you know, late 80s, early 90s, but they always had like, for the most part, baby face. They did try that. I mean, the first real heel baby face announcer was, that they tried it with was Roddy Piper back when it was Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Yeah. And Mid-Atlantic as well. The local show, not the Saturday night 605. That was pretty much Tony Crockett, but those were squashes. That's different. But even like the Mid-Atlantic show was always, cause I watched them on the network before. I'm just waiting for them to come back on Peacock. Was always Caudle and Johnny Weaver. Johnny Weaver was terrible, by the way, mumbles course there, but let me tell you something.
There's some announcing.
Who doesn't love Caudle?
You know, I know we're kind of going off on a tangent here, but it does have to do with announcing. There, you know, we're watching, rewatching some matches. You know, obviously we review for Croc and Roll. Oh my God! I mean, Paul Bosch is freaking horrendous.
That's
your boy too. Oh gosh, all these guys. I'm like, these match the AWA guys. Oh my gosh, it's just it's like
Larry
brutal.
Nelson. Larry Nelson.
Yeah, some of them.
They didn't know how to talk. They didn't know how to, like, I always thought that was weird. Like, they didn't
the
know
Pacific
how to
Pacific Northwest
the
guys are like horrendous. I don't even know who those guys are. I can't even remember their names at this point.
Who's that?
In the Pacific Northwest?
Oh, well, it was Don Owen. Was his promotion.
Yeah, I don't know if he was actually announcing, but oh my God, some of it is just so brutal. And it does, you know, you don't realize the announcing. And this is why, I mean, Vince kind of gets criticized, and yes, sometimes it's a little overproduced these days, but he took that stuff very seriously, the announcing, especially back in the 80s and the early 90s, and you know, and it does make the match. It really does. If you have the right announcer, it will help make the match. But if you get some brutal announcer, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, or if you don't have any announcing at all, you know, like you watch some of those, you know, sometimes we get some of those matches that we have to watch without announcing, or mm-hmm. on the gems, the hidden gems. It's like, you know, I know that when you watch it live, you don't have announcing, but, and sometimes you miss it when you're live too, you know? Right.
I agree.
When you're watching it live. But when you're live, you kind of get your feet off the crowd. But when you're watching it at home and there's no announcing, it's very tough. So it does make it, you know, going back to what we're talking about, the NWA, it makes an important impression on the audience. And if you have everybody agreeing with each other all the time, it kind of gets a little boring.
Yeah, I agree.
You need a little bit of that conflict in somebody. Not only are you pumping up the babyface, but now you're pumping them up even more when you have a heel announcer ragging on that babyface. I mean,
right.
Jesse was very good at that. You know, Bobby Heenan
awesome
was very
Bobby
good
Bobby was
that.
Awesome at it. Exactly.
You know, even Lawler, when Lawler was in that phase of where he was a heel, you know, especially when he, you know, in the Attitude Era, and he loved, you know, Vince McMahon and loved the corporation and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it always had he and JR. They weren't totally combative, but at least they kind of had that back and forth where it kind of, I don't know, you just need that that yin and the yang kind of thing going with each other. And I think when you have three people in the booth and they're all kind of agreeing with each other, it gets boring.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a case where you needed a good heel at the desk to say that Sawanaro is a fucking idiot for taking this match so Kratos can snap him like a Slim Jim. But instead,
exactly.
You got all three
of
them.
Could you imagine...
Like,
like Bobby Heenan, what he would be saying, or Jesse, or, you know, like, just think about some of the great heel announcers, what they would be saying.
He's got a ton of guts, but not a ton of brains. Yeah, exactly. But no, it's, they're all there. Oh, this is amazing. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Oh, God.
And again, you could have Galley could sell that part of it.
Sure.
And even Tim Storm could sell that part of it. But then you need somebody on the other end. That whether it be Velvet Sky or somebody that just has that heel way that just makes you want to punch them in the face. And
yeah,
know.
Exactly. Like, I have no problem with Austin Idol as an announcer. You know,
Austin Idol was even good in his day. I mean, you know, for 71 years old, the guy could still, you know, still do it. And he brings heat. So I would have no problem with him being the third person in the booth.
Absolutely not. Yeah, I agree.
And then maybe put Velvet Sky doing the interviews, because I'll tell you right now, Mae Young has to improve, because some of those interviews are brutal.
Maybe Mae Valentine, not Mae Young.
Oh, Mae Valentine.
Mae Young might be better at it now anyway. But
yeah, probably. Yeah, I have. Did I say Mae Young? Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
You know what? I think I need more coffee. I'm empty.
Maybe it depends who flashes their puppies or whatever. I don't know. Anyway,
all right, I know I get the little marks out there. They'll be tweeting me because I said Mae Young.
Shut up. You guys
know. Nobody else makes a mistake in the world.
Yeah, they always.
Oh, God, I'm starting to sound like Jim Ross now.
Yeah, bitter. you're having a get off my lawn moment. Anyway, Kratos beats the fucking shit out of him, pulls him up on it was a one-sided squash, and he hits the deadlift German suplex, which I like the move,
but,
and he gets the victory.
Really, where did that go? I kind of like, because they had nobody at the ring, like I would like to have seen maybe like a surprise win by Sawanaro, something just to keep if they're going to keep this going. Like I could see where people were critical of some of this. It's like, okay, where were you going with this? What was the?
I think they were still trying. I think they're still trying to build up Kratos as a mercenary, as just a bull in a china shop. And Sawanaro's a jobber. Let's go. It's like Barry Horowitz in 1995. Like, you give him a little, but he's a jobber. Let's just call a spade here. He's a jobber. So after the match, and this is, again, we have a problem. Kyle Davis is at the table. And I like Kyle Davis, but I think somebody should just, like, beat the shit out of him and throw him into, like, a fucking upset. Like, yeah, there's just the baby face thing on the announcers. The baby face lean on the announcing is I think at times hurting the product. Like everybody's just so sugary that we need a little vinegar to throw. We need a little fly in the ointment, and we don't have that. Like somebody needs to slug Kyle Davis. He's like, all right, girls, we need to have some decor here. And I'd like to see like Camille just like, you know, put a Tongan death grip on him or something. Like, I don't know. Something saucy. You know what I mean?
Well, anyway, we get this interview. Something like that was needed. I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah, we had another face to face promo between Thunder Rosa and Camille with their representatives, which I don't know what the fuck they need that for. Melina and Taryn Terrell, who barely spoke. And Thunder Rosa wants one more shot at Camille and at number one contender slot for Serena Deeb's World Women's Championship. And they went back and forth and they went on these long diatribes about the history of wrestling and Thunder
Camille
Rosa brought up Mildred Burke, and I'm like, all right, I like that. I mean, Thunder Rosa, I had thought in the beginning.
They like to pay homage. You even saw Nick Aldis do it too with naming the past NWA champions. They do like to pay homage to the past. Again, and maybe in another context that would have been okay, but this interview was really not good. Thunder Rosa is not too bad when she's in the right storyline, I guess.
Right.
Situation. I like Camille needed to stay a silent assassin. They really needed to have a mouthpiece for her. Like, you know what? Austin Idol would have been a great mouthpiece for her. You know, like, she's just not good.
Or if you've got Taryn Terrell there, let her do the talking. She's actually not a bad talker if you watched her in Impact. And remember, she was a GM of ECW back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem.
Why were they there?
That.
It made no sense.
Yeah, you know it's just, again, like we said, you know, I know a lot of times it sounded like we were just so pro NWA, but there are times, you know, listen, as things go on and they're creating more shows, there's going to be things we're going to critique here, you know, and we're just going by what we know from watching wrestling all these years and what we enjoy. It doesn't mean it's 100% right. It just means that we're just trying to see where things could have been better, and I could see where some of the critiquing came in and some of the complaints came in, you know, online. And this one, I don't know where they were totally going with this. And again, Camille would just be so great as a silent assassin. She's so, I mean, she towers over everybody. I mean, mm-hmm. She really is a monster, you know, like she, and she does need some more work in the ring, mm-hmm. No doubt about it. But you know what? How many wrestlers do we know and we watched over the years that have learned on the job? The Road Warriors were like that. Ultimate Warrior, you know, was like that. And, you know, these are got people, whether you like them or not, they made a lot of money. So she'll be okay because she's got, you know, monster hero personality. But she doesn't need to be talking that much. She could talk, but when she talks, it has to be something that's impactful. You know, kind of how like when The Undertaker first started out. You know, obviously, over the years, he became a much better interview.
Right.
But they did put Paul Bearer with him. But then occasionally when he did speak, what he said meant something. And
absolutely.
That's what it needs to be for Camille.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if you like that analogy or not. I'm just trying to think of somebody.
That's a very solid analogy. Taker would only say speak when it really needed to make a point. But it was mostly Paul Bearer.
But
now,
she was just talking much in this interview.
Yeah, she was babbling. She was babbling.
Thunder Rosa, yes. Thunder Rosa is going to talk. That's just her gig. You know, she's going to do that. And for the most part, she could do a pretty good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this didn't really do anything for me. It didn't make me feel like, oh my God, I can't wait for this match. You know, on paper, you want to see those two go at it anyway. But it didn't make me be like, oh, I can't wait for this.
Well, they kept referring to stipulations, but they weren't getting to the point. They just were like yapping to each other. It just kind of meandered off in all these different places. But what it finally came down to is, if Thunder Rosa wants a rematch with Camille for that number one contender slot, if Camille wins, Thunder Rosa must work exclusively for the NWA. She can't float around. She can't go to AEW. She can't go back to Mexico. Or Southern Texas, wherever she's kind of like has this territory on both sides of the border. she needs to stay in the NWA. I don't know what that's a bad thing. I don't know.
You know what's funny is that AEW mentions NWA, but NWA, you know, they never like touched on what the other places that she goes to. You know,
no.
Isn't that funny? Oh, it's almost kind of like a Vince thing. Like they're the big company, and
right. I think it's pretty funny.
You know.
So,
but
so
I don't have a problem with it. I just, you know, it just was funny to me. I just wanted to point that out.
So it comes down to this. We are going to get, at some point down the line, a rematch from Back for the Attack between Camille and Thunder Rosa. If Thunder Rosa wins, she takes Camille's title shot against Serena Deeb for the World Women's title. If Camille wins, Thunder Rosa has to stay in the NWA and can't go anywhere else. I don't know if that's a punishment, but okay.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Any event. So we get to what we think is our second to last match of the evening. We'll get to that in a minute.
Your boy.
My man, Slice Boogie, takes on Jax Dane in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Now, Doctor, I've said every week that NWA needs to take some chances with these TV matches and start doing some.
Yeah, do something different than just the regular. We were talking about, I think we spoke about that last week. We were saying they need some stipulations, some thing, especially in the pay-per-view. You need something that's just not the same. Okay, it's match.
Right.
Have some gimmick matches. You don't want everything to be a gimmick match. That gets too much. WCW could tell you that one. But you do need to have one sprinkled in there every so often.
I agree. And we've had no DQs and stuff like that, but they're not wrestled that way. They're just wrestled like everyday matches. Not this one. Excuse me. Slice Boogie and Jax Dane really went at it. I thought it was one of the best matches we've seen in a while. They wrestled around the ring. They used the post. They used the interview table. I mean, they threw each other all over the place. Jax Dane's a big dude. And he's got cred. As I say, every time we mention him, he is a former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. But Slice Boogie is definitely a guy that Billy Corgan has definitely invested in. There's no doubt about that. He was cherry-picked from UWN. Maybe that's what caused the Dave Marquez schism. Cherry-picking some of those UWN guys like Slice Boogie, Jordan Clearwater. Why did he take Hammerstone?
Yeah,
anyway.
I don't know. I'm assuming that'll come out one day, but yeah. We still can't
figure out what
happened.
But they're wrestling around the ring. Jax Dane's hitting him, or Boogie's hitting Dane with chairs. I'm like, this is what we needed to see. And then Boogie does this crazy, like a plancha over the top rope to the floor. And it was probably the most risky, like depth-defying move we've seen in the GPB. I mean, they both landed smack hard on that shiny floor, because the floor around the ring is not padded. We're talking like old school Bill Watts. We're talking about hard floor. And he did a top rope plancha that was impressive. Crimson comes out. Of course, Crimson is the other half of the War Kings tag team with Jax Dane. Of course, they had some tension after a tag match they lost against Slice Boogie and Mims. Dane inadvertently knocks Crimson off the apron as Boogie was going to wrap the chair on Dane's neck. Boogie gets distracted by Crimson. Dane inadvertently knocks Crimson off the apron. Dane checks on Crimson, and then Jax Dane throws in the towel. We get an old school Iron Sheik Bob Backlund ending, and Slice Boogie stays unbeaten and wins the match by forfeit. I thought that ending was a little weird, but so be it. The ending doesn't take away from me the fact that this was one of the best matches we've seen on Power. It was violent as the TV match is going to be, but they finally started like using the post. They were slamming their faces into the interview desk. They actually started using the studio. If you're going to have a Falls Count Anywhere match, have falls on the floor, which they did. There were pin attempts on the floor, and start using the stuff around you. So for once, the NWA kind of got a little risky and had some fun with a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know what it is? I love a little hardcore, you know, like a little bit of that hardcore mixed in every so often. Again, not every match, but I do like having it every once in a while. And I have to say they did a really nice job. I mean, I enjoyed the match.
I don't know
from some of the stuff I was reading, I didn't really see too much criticizing of that match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's really much you could you know, criticize about it. I thought they did a pretty good job, and you know, Slice Boogie's having a nice little run here.
He really is. My man, Slice Boogie. So we were supposed to have the main event of our show this week, which was supposed to be Aaron Stevens and Kratos defending the World Tag Team titles against Chris Adonis and Tom Latimer. Well, Joe Galli's listening on the mic. He's kicking like old Mike Tenay, old school TNA, listening to his headset. And he says that Strictly Business has left the building. Apparently, Aaron Stevens and Kratos were at the curtain waiting to come out for their match. We thought, oh, maybe they, you know, they come out and have another tag match. Maybe another tag team would come out or something. Nope. Joe Galli goes, guess what? We have time left, but now we don't. Sorry. Have a good night. Bye. And we get the credits. We get the copyright.
See you later.
Lightning One Productions. Bye. See you later. Bye. Lightning One Productions. Yada, yada, yada. Goodbye. I'm sure that ending didn't make people very happy. But I will say this. Strictly Business are heels, and they're here to piss you off. So yeah,
I like, you know, from a wrestling storyline perspective, very good. Now, here, listen, I try to look at both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I like the side of, you know, Strictly Business. They're just going to piss you off. But whether it be, I don't care if it's $5 a month or whatever, people are paying now. Not to say like when overall, I guess when you're paying for your TV these days, you're technically paying. But you know what I mean? For the most part, when it's airing on a station, you're not thinking about that. You know, you're not paying specifically for that show. People feel like they're paying for something and they should get, you know, the full hour or whatever it's going to be.
Right.
So I do see both sides of it. But from the wrestling angle point, I think it's great because, again, they're just pissing you off more and more. Because I think the NWA truly wants heel babyface and not this tweener thing that we've had for the last 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, you know, the heels are the cool guys, you know, right, like we had in the Attitude Era, which was fine. I enjoyed that. But, you know, I think sometimes, you know, sometimes that gets worn out after a while. So they want you to hate Nick Aldis. Now, we're just heels, you and I, so that's just the way we are.
Yep.
So we're going to root for
Strictly Business.
Strictly Business anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they want to make you hate these guys.
Yep.
These guys and gal, I guess, because Camille's part of Strictly Business. But
right.
And that's – so from a storyline perspective – wrestling storyline perspective, I kind of like it. From the consumer's perspective, I do understand where people may be like, where they felt like they got gypped.
Yeah, because
you can't do this all the time, though.
Right. Because a normal episode of Power is about 45 to 50 minutes. A Superpower episode, if you go back to the YouTube era pre-COVID, the Superpower was like an hour and 10 probably. So when you're looking at this, you're like, well, I thought this was a Superpower.
Well, and
why
they did
only
promote the match,
minutes?
Too. It wasn't like they, you know, not that they were talking about it every 5 minutes, you know, like you do sometimes on the WWE show. They'll mention it 50 times, you know, to keep it in your head. But they did advertise it, and it kind of pissed people off, I believe. You know, that's – and I get it because you were looking forward to that match. So they got to give you that match at some time. They can't do this all the time is what I'm saying. They can't next week do the same thing, advertise a match, and then not have it. Because then you're going to get people pissed off. I don't think they'll do that, but it just, you know. Mm. Don't do WCW late 90s booking.
Correct.
That's all. You know, stay away from that.
Mm. Correct. I agree. And I can understand,
how do you feel about it? Like, from your perspective, do you agree with me? Are you kind of split it? Like, be the devil's advocate, like, okay, you see the side of the storyline side, it's great, but the consumer side, you can see where people are upset.
Nah, fuck off. No, I'm only kidding. No. listen.
You are
a
heel.
I think the thing, I know. No, the thing that I let me spin it off to a third strain.
Ooh, a third one here now. What do we got to add?
Yet, I think another thing might be irritating people more than even the length. Yes, should we maybe have got an extra match? Yeah, probably. But here's the thing. I get that the NWA wants to kind of be very heel heavy at the moment. And back in the days of Crockett, you know, heels 90% of the time would get the upper hand because, you know, it's the Horsemen and Flair and stuff. But it is pretty evident, and I said this to you when we were watching the other night. Literally, it seems like every end of a power, Strictly Business, has the upper hand. Like, the we haven't had a babyface ending to a... to an episode of Power since probably the first episode when Sal Renaro got the roll up on, was that the first week? Yeah, got the roll up on Kratos because of the miscommunication. That wasn't even a heel thing. That was a baby. So literally, strictly, except for this past episode of Power Surge when Aldis got surprised about the Battle Royale, every episode of Power ends with Strictly Business on top. And I could see people starting to get, as much as we love Nick Aldis and everything, I could start see people starting to get a little irritated with the fact that, all right, you know, we need some babyface love here because we're not getting any of it. So I could see people getting annoyed that the overabundance of heel success is starting to maybe taint the show a little bit. And this goes back to the fact that the baby faces are all the announcers. So they're all just, oh, it's like listening to David Crockett three times. Sorry, Sean. But so the face announcers, but the heels getting in their way all the time might be a little grating now as we're getting down the stretch. But the other thing that's bugging me, and finally, by the end of the at the end of the show, we did get, as you mentioned, the clown music. We did get a quick little like still frame graphic of the next pay-per-view, When Our Shadows Fall, which will, of course, be on Sunday, June 6th. But I think people still feel like let's put it this way, Jay. I think the next 2 weeks of Powers, this upcoming Tuesday, the 18th, and then the following Tuesday, the 25th, which is the Power that's supposed to have this Battle Royal, are huge episodes because we're getting into pay-per-view time now. We're not in a holding pattern anymore. The NWA has to stop acting like they're on an island now. And they need to really start pushing ahead week by week. We have no matches set for the pay-per-view.
And yeah, they to need to,
you know,
they do. They need to, you need to now, you need to be like the bigger companies and you don't want it to be to a point where it's like in your face every 5 minutes, but you do need to start creating matches and pumping these matches. If you want people to buy, now I get it. You know, years ago you had to do it out a little further because you had to, remember years ago you had to call to your cable company or you had to, you know, mm-hmm. then you had to program it into your remote. Now, I mean, now you could do it in 2 seconds and, right. and order it, but you can't sit here and like make people guess what the matches are going to be. You have to have something that's going to entice people to say, you know what, I'm going to order it. Because, again, people could put it off like, you know, like they're pumping up the last pay-per-view, you mm-hmm. know, that you could buy it. Now, I don't know if it's still the same, if it's the same price as if you bought it live. I'm not even sure, to be honest.
Mm.
Because if that's not the case, then, oh, we'll wait till it's cheaper, you know, or, right. you know, we'll get some of the replay, you know. So you want to give something where people are going to be like, okay, we want to watch it that day. Yeah, they know they could get it on demand after the mm-hmm. fact, but
right.
you want to pump it up that people, so this way you see what people are ordering. And right now I just, you know, like, there's nothing that's saying to me, okay, we have to get this pay-per-view right now.
Right.
You know. This is must see. Now, will we probably get it because we're marks for the company and
we already bought it. I mean, we already bought it. So, but it's time.
But I'm just saying that the casual fan, you have to suck them in somehow.
Right. We need to have a bevy of title matches. Obviously, the winner of the Battle Royal will face Nick Aldis at the pay-per-view. They haven't specifically said that. I don't know if we're supposed to just know that. It's like having a girlfriend. You're supposed to read her mind or a wife. I don't know if we're supposed to read the NWA's mind that it's at the pay-per-view or if they're going to say.
They haven't done a good job at that.
What's that? Not reading women's? No. Well, because. It's stupid. Use your mouth to talk, amongst other things. Hey! No. I don't know what rabbit hole we just crawled down. But anyway.
I don't know.
Come
on. We record this thing late at night. We don't know what the hell we're saying.
Yeah, I'm sorry that we're not doing the show at 7:05 on Tuesday, so we could, suck off the babyface announcers, speaking of mouths. Look at this. We're starting our own storyline. People need to use us more. We generate. We create. Motivate.
Purvey.
Intimidate. That's what we do. So we know that Nick's going to defend Sweet Charlotte. I'm assuming Chris Adonis will defend the national title. We're assuming Pope. I don't know if it's going to be Pope and Matt Cross. Something tells me it's going to be a triple threat again between Pope, Matt Cross, and Tyrus probably.
Tyrus
for the TV.
I mean, you could probably predict the matches. I mean, for the most part, the company's not that big, so you could see where they're going with things.
Here's
right
the problem.
Now,
the problem that. The only thing that the NWA kind of did wrong, and I mean, I understand she has knee issues, but can we at least get Serena Deeb on camera? Like, she had her knee scoped.
Yeah, it's all the other women kind
are carrying the storyline. And I don't think, and as far as I know, and I haven't watched it the last several weeks, I asked Steve Willey the other night when we were recording Main Event, I don't think Serena Deeb's even been on AEW Dynamite. So she might be totally hurt, but maybe the worst thing to do was give her the women's title back in, when did she beat Thunder Rosa? October? She beat her in October. Maybe that wasn't the best idea.
Maybe it wasn't, but the thing is that at the time, because there was not much going on, it kept the NWA name out there. So I don't really want to go back on that. I just agree with you. Like, maybe just even have her on camera just doing some kind of interview just to kind of keep it fresh. She's not going to wrestle. She doesn't have to wrestle.
Right.
But I just think right now what I think we want to see as fans, we want to start seeing this pay-per-view come together. I think next week you have to start seeing it come together. See, you have some stipulations in some of the matches that would also make it fun.
Right.
I know they're going to play some of the things out. We'll see what happens with the tag team champions. Obviously, something's going to happen there. Will it happen at the pay-per-view or will it happen before the pay-per-view? I would think it's going to happen at the pay-per-view, but who knows?
Mm-hmm. So.
I would say this show wasn't the best Power we've watched, but it wasn't. If you really break it apart, it wasn't as bad as some people really made it out to be.
It was still better than the last 8 episodes of UWM Primetime Live.
Oh, God. We tried so hard. We really did. We try to talk ourselves into that shit.
You know what the NWA needs? Little Dirty Dickinson. That's your boy there. Shit. Fucking shit. Shit this.
What is
shit
this? Shit.
Shit this. What is this shit? Oh, God. Anyway. So this week's episode of Power wasn't terrible, but it was, let's put it this way. It was the first episode where for the first time we saw the NWA kind of being still a work in progress. Like we saw not necessarily flaws, but we're seeing aspects of the creative product that are still being fleshed.
Yep.
And I think
we need to see some more on the roster too, because there's only so much you can do with this roster. And maybe some of that'll happen at the pay-per-view, especially if they're going to do a battle royal. Maybe we'll see a few guys, but
yeah,
debut. But yeah, I mean, this listen, it is a work in progress from time to time, but it's still something I enjoy watching even more than the bigger companies, I have to be honest.
Yeah, well, we do have a WWE pay-per-view on Sunday. If you want to hear a good preview of it, check out Steve and I on this past Friday's episode of Main Event. But and then, of course, in a couple, few weeks after that, we have AEW Double or Nothing on Memorial Day weekend. So it was, again, it was not a terrible episode, but it was the first episode where we actually saw some creative holes that NWA is actively trying to fill. I agree with you. The roster needs some beef.
It needs
a little beefing up.
And you don't need big name. I mean, it would be nice to get a big name. You don't need big names. You just need some indie guys that that have a name out there that have been in the business for a while to cut their teeth.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Look at, you got Mims and you got you know, Matt Cross. I think Matt Cross has been in the indies. He's a kind of an indie star for a while.
Yeah, he was in ROH too. He's a Ring of Honor for a while too.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how things unfold. But stick with it, guys. Don't get too upset.
It was one bad episode.
It's the one show. You know, don't say you're not going to buy it anymore. Come on, you waste money on some people waste money on a cup of Starbucks coffee. That's what it costs you to watch.
You're already jaw-jacking with the audience, and you don't even know if they're mad or not. That's a good heel. Getting pissed off without even needing to be pissed off. Yeah. Strictly Business says everything will be fine. Regardless of what Joe Galli's beady-eyed mushmouth says, everything is fine.
And when we get our...
Is this like when... It's like when Bischoff...
He's Strictly Business track jackets, because we know that Sean will find them. But just no pressure, Sean, by the way.
It's kind of like when Bischoff was running the broadcast table on Nitro when he was in the NWO. That's kind of how you and I should be. We should have like a... We should do a storyline where we fly to GPB and do like JR did in 98 when he was a heel.
Oh, and set up
just
our
put
own,
a ta- and just put a table in front of Joe Galli.
You know, we'll bring out like some like, you know, beat up table or something. Just
we could tell Tim Storm to go teach some arithmetic or something. Go teach some trigonometry. anyway, so
we know he's not teaching the sex ed classes.
Mama Storm would not be happy with that. Anyway,
oh my gosh,
that'll do it for this week's episode.
We're getting a little slap happy here.
It's time to get out of here. That'll do it for this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. We hope you enjoyed it. We try to have some fun here. Join us next week for another brand new episode. We will continue. Bring you great things for the National Wrestling Alliance. We'll of course recap this coming Tuesday's episode of Power, which we think will be pretty meaty. I think we're going to get some more storyline advancement. I'm going to predict this, Dr. G, for this Tuesday's episode. I think this Tuesday we will see our World Women's Champion Serena Deeb. I think we'll see her this week. That's my prediction.
Ooh, going out on a limb, all right.
And I do think we will get our first match booked for When Our Shadows Fall. We'll get our first pay-per-view match, I think, this Tuesday. Those are my two predictions. I think we'll get our first...
I'm not making any predictions, booked. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think we'll get our first pay-per-view match announcement, and I think we will see the World Women's Champion, Serena Deeb, this Tuesday. That's my pick.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Maybe we'll see my girl, Genocide. And by the way, for those that do own the and haven't watched Power Surge from last Tuesday... please watch it. It's a short, you know, because the Power Surges are only 30 minutes. And watch the match between her and Sky Blue. It's getting rave reviews all over social media. I'm following Twitter and I'm seeing people talking about both of them. It was one of the best matches we've seen since the restart. So I will say that. The wrestling, I think, the in-ring is consistent. It's still good. I mean, the Matt Cross match this week was...
Yeah.
Slice Boogie and Jax Dane tore it up this week, in my opinion.
I agree.
And so check out that episode from 2 weeks ago's Power Surge with Genocide and Sky Blue. It was a fantastic women's match. So everybody have a great week. Continue to stay safe. Get your vaxes. Oh, we'll see if I'm ready for. I get my second shot. You're not really loopy tonight. this week. You got your shot, what, Tuesday? So your loopiness is past you already. I'm getting my second shot this coming Wednesday. So we'll see when we record Friday night if I'm starting to, you know,
hallucinate. See how the Podfather is doing.
Yeah, if I say I'm from...
Will he be whining by that point in time? We'll see.
Maybe I'll be from Connecticut. I don't know. Anyway, have a great week. I am Scott. He's the doctor, and you're not.
The Great Value Doctor is going down. Ciao.